Talk number 51, 5th of June, 1935. A young Brahmin, 25 years of age, came on a visit to the master. At his sight, he became hysterical and shouted, "Shivoham, aham, Brahma asmi, you are God. You are Parabrahman. You are my father. Father, save me," and so on. His hysterics waxing, he beat his chest violently, alternately, with both his hands, shouting, "Shivoham, Shivoham." Then again he shouted hysterically, gnashing his teeth, "I will stamp out materialism," as if he was crushing materialism between his teeth. Then he asked, "Either give me power, either give me power, or I will." He began as if to throttle himself. When gently removed by others, he fell prostrate before Sri Bhagavan, saying, "I will take refuge at the feet of my father." "Father, you are Pathasarathi. I am Arjuna. We will stamp out materialism," and so on. He was finally taken away from the presence of Maharshi. He washed himself, took some light refreshment, and quietly seated himself in the hall for some hours. He abstained from the midday meal. In the afternoon, he had another fit when he shouted, "I will chop off the head of Krishna if he should come here now. He advised me to give up my job, but does not protect my mother, or let him chop off my head," and so on. After some hours of quiet, Sri Bhagavan asked Mr. K. L. Sharma to read out a portion of his commentary on the appendix to the 40 verses. The gist of it is that people, unable to help themselves, ask for divine powers to be utilized for human welfare. This is similar to the story of a lame man who blustered, saying that he would overpower the enemy if only he were helped onto his legs. The intention is good, but there is no sense of proportion. The young man, on hearing it, suddenly sprang to his feet, saluting Sri Bhagavan and saying, "Father, Father, I was mistaken. Pardon me. Teach me. I shall abide by what you say," and so on. Then again, in the evening, he prostrated himself, saying, quote, "I surrender," unquote. Talk number 52, 9th June 1935. A man from Kokanada asked, "My mind remains clear for 2 or 3 days and turns dull for the next 2 or 3 days, and so it alternates. What is it due to?" Maharshi, "It is quite natural. It is the play of brightness, sattva, activity, rajas, and darkness, tamas, alternating. Do not regret the tamas. But when sattva comes into play, hold on to it fast and make the best of it." Devotee, "What is the heart?" Maharshi, "It is the seat, if such could be said of it, of the self." Devotee, "Is it the physical heart?" Maharshi, "No, it is the seat wherefrom I arises." Devotee, "What becomes of the jiva after death?" Maharshi, "The question is not appropriate for a jiva now living. A disembodied jiva may ask me if convenient. In the meantime, let the embodied jiva solve its present problem and find who he is. There will be an end of such doubts." Devotee, "What is dhyana?" Maharshi, "The word dhyana usually signifies meditation on some object, whereas Nididhyasana is used for inquiry into the self. The triads persist until the self is realized. Dhyana and Nididhyasana are the same so far as the aspirant is concerned, because they involve Trinity and are synonymous with bhakti. Devotee, how should dhyana be practiced? Maharshi, dhyana serves to concentrate the mind. The predominant idea keeps off all others. Dhyana varies according to the individual. It may be on an aspect of God, on a mantra, or on the self, etc. Talk number 53, 15th of June, 1935. A young man, Mr. Knowles, came for darshan. He had read Paul Brunton's 2 books. He asked, "The Buddhists say that I is unreal, whereas Paul Brunton in The Secret Path tells us to get over the I thought and reach the state of I, which is true." Maharshi, there are supposed to be 2 I's. The one is lower and unreal, of which all are aware, and the other, the higher and the real, which is to be realized. You are not aware of yourself while asleep. You are aware in wakefulness. Waking, you say that you were asleep. You did not know it in the deep sleep state. So then, the idea of diversity has arisen along with the body consciousness. This body consciousness arose at some particular moment. It has origin and end. What originates must be something. What is that something? It is the I consciousness. Who am I? Whence am I? On finding the source, you realize the state of absolute consciousness. Devotee, who is this I? It seems to be only a continuum of sense impression. The Buddhist idea seems to be so too. Maharshi, the world is not external. The impressions cannot have an outer origin, because the world can be cognized only by consciousness. The world does not say that it exists. It is your impression. Even so, this impression is not consistent and not unbroken. In deep sleep, the world is not cognized, and so it exists not for the sleeping man. Therefore, the world is a sequence of the ego. Find out the ego. The finding of its source is the final goal. Devotee, I believe that we should not inflict suffering on others. Should we then endure the mosquito bite and submit to it also? Maharshi, you do not like to suffer yourself. How can you inflict suffering on others? Just keep off mosquitoes, since you suffer by their stings. Devotee, is it right that we kill other lives, that is, mosquitoes, bugs? Maharshi, everyone is a suicide. The eternal, blissful, and natural state has been smothered by this life of ignorance. In this way, the present life is due to the killing of the eternal, pristine being. Is it not a case of suicide? So then, everyone is a suicide. Why worry about murders and killing? In the course of a latter talk, the visitor said, "The world sends impressions and I awake." Maharshi, Can the world exist without someone to perceive it? Which is prior, the being consciousness or the rising consciousness? The being consciousness is always there, eternal and pure. The rising consciousness rises forth and disappears. It is transient. Devotee, does not the world exist for others even when I am asleep? Maharshi, such a world mocks you also for knowing it without knowing yourself. The world is the result of your mind. Know your mind. Then see the world. You will realize that it is not different from the self. Devotee, is not Maharshi aware of himself and his surroundings as clearly as I am? Maharshi, to whom is the doubt? The doubts are not for the realized. They are only for the ignorant. Talk number 54, 16th of June, 1935. An Andhra pundit, an elderly gentleman, had some doubts regarding Kavya Kanta's exposition of Advaita. He has found it in books that Brahman is free from Sajatiya, Vijatiya, and Swagata Beda. Such conditions are satisfied in Vivarta Veda, but not in Parinama Veda. In the latter, Swagata Beda is bound to be. The master pointed out that Dakshinamurti did not teach anything of the kind. He did not say that Brahman is related to Shakti or not related. All that was only silence, and the doubts of the Shisha's disciples were cleared. The significance is that there is nothing to be learned, discussed, and concluded. Everyone knows I am. There is the confusion that the I is the body, because the I arises from the absolute and gives rise to buddhi, intellect. In buddhi, the I looks the size and shape of the body. Namedaya means that Brahman cannot be comprehended by buddhi. Brahman gives rise to aham, I, gives rise to buddhi, intellect. How can such buddhi cross over aham, discover Brahman? It is impossible. Just get over the false conception of the I being the body. Discover to whom the thoughts arise. If the present I-ness vanishes, the discovery is complete. What remains over is the pure self. Compare deep sleep and wakefulness. Diversity and body are found only in the latter. In the former, the self remains without the perception of body or of the world. Happiness reigns there. The Shruti Vakya Aham Brahmasmi relates to the state and not to the mode of mind. One cannot become Brahman by continuing to repeat the mantra. It means that Brahman is not elsewhere. It is yourself. Find that self. Brahman is found. Do not attempt to reach Brahman as if it were in some far-off place. The pundit remarked that thoughts are so persistent that the aham cannot be reached. The master said, the Brahma akara vritti helps to turn the mind away from other thoughts. Either some such practice is necessary or association with sadhus should be made. The sadhu has already overcome the mind and remains in peace. His proximity helps to bring about such condition in others. Otherwise, there is no meaning in seeking a sadhu's company. Deho aham, I am the body, is limitation and is the root of all mean and selfish actions and desires. Brahma aham, I am Brahman, is passing beyond limitations and signifies sympathy, charity, love, etc., which are divine and virtuous. Devotee. How does a grihastha, householder, fare in the scheme of moksha, liberation? Maharshi. Why do you think you are a grihastha? If you go out as a sannyasi, a similar thought that you are a sannyasi will haunt you. Whether you continue in the household or renounce it and go to the forest, your mind haunts you. The ego is the source of thoughts. It creates the body and the world and makes you think you are a grihastha. If you renounce the world, it will only substitute the thought sannyasi for grihastha, and the environments of the forest for those of the household. But the mental obstacles are always there. They even increase in new surroundings. There is no help in the change of environment. The obstacle is the mind. It must be got over, whether at home or in the forest. If you can do it in the forest, why not in the home? Therefore, why change the environment? Your efforts can be made even now in whatever environment you may be. The environment never abandons you according to your desire. Look at me. I left home. Look at yourselves. You have come here leaving the home environment. What do you find here? Is this different from what you left? Even if one is immersed in Nirvikalpa Samadhi for years together, when he emerges from it, he will find himself in the environment which he is bound to have. That is the reason for the Acharya emphasizing Sahaj Samadhi in preference to Nirvikalpa Samadhi in his excellent work Viveka Chudamani. One should be in spontaneous samadhi, that is, in one's pristine state, in the midst of every environment. Later on, Sri Bhagavan said, control of breath may be internal or external. The anta pranayama, the internal breath regulation, is as follows. Naham chinta, I am not the body idea, is rechaka, exhalation. Koham, who am I, is puraka, inhalation. Soham, I am he, is kumbhaka, retention of breath. Doing thus, the breath becomes automatically controlled. Bahi pranayama, external control, is for one not endowed with strength to control the mind. There is no way so sure as that, or a sadhu's company. The external practice must be resorted to by a wise man if he does not enjoy a sadhu's company. If in a sadhu's company, the sadhu provides the needed strength, though unseen by others. Pranayama need not be exactly as described in Hatha Yoga. If engaged in japa, dhyana, bhakti, etc., Just a little control of breath will suffice to control the mind. The mind is the rider and the breath the horse. Pranayama is a check on the horse. By that check, the rider is checked. Pranayama may be done just a little. To watch the breath is one way of doing it. The mind, abstracted from other activities, is engaged in watching the breath. That controls the breath, and in its turn, the mind is controlled. If unable to do so, Richaka or Paraka need not be practiced. Breath may be retained a short while in japa, dhyana, etc. Then, too, good results will follow. Talk number 55, 18th of June, 1935. Devotee, can Advaita be realized by japa of holy names, say Rama or Krishna, and so on? Maharshi, yes. Devotee, is it not a means of an inferior order? Maharshi, have you been told to make japa or to discuss its order in the scheme of things? Silence. Talk number 56, 22nd of June, 1935. A youth of 20 asked how to realize the self. He sat down in silence and waited more than an hour and then was about to leave. While doing so, he asked how to realize the self. Maharshi, whose self? Find out. Devotee, who am I? Maharshi, find it yourself. Devotee, I do not know. Maharshi, think. Who is it that says, I do not know? What is not known? In that statement, who is the I? Devotee, somebody in me. Maharshi, who is the somebody in whom? Devotee, maybe some power. Maharshi, find it. Devotee, how to realize Brahman? Maharshi, without knowing the self, why do you seek to know Brahman? Devotee, the sastras say Brahman pervades all and me too. Maharshi, find the I in me, and then there will be time to think of Brahman. Devotee, why was I born? Maharshi, who was born? The answer is the same for all of your questions. Devotee, who am I then? Maharshi, smiling, have you come to examine me and ask me? You must say who you are. Devotee, in deep sleep, the soul leaves the body and remains elsewhere. When it re-enters, I awake. Is it so? Maharshi, what is it that leaves the body? Devotee, the power, perhaps. Maharshi, find out the power. Devotee, the body is composed of five elements. What are the elements? Maharshi, without knowing the self, how do you aim at knowing the elements? The young man sat a while and left with permission. The master remarked later, all right, it will work.